The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTXT, its management, Texas Tech University, or any living person. You're listening to Anthony Pipes Hall and Kelly Dr. K. Caulfield, and this is the Devil's Advocate.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Devil's Advocate.
Oh, here he goes.
I can't even get through the intro
this
these
guy.
Days. This guy. Okay.
Sorry, that was a flashback to last semester.
Yeah, God, I love that. Okay, welcome to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT, the Raider 88.1. Tony here with Dr. K in the College of Media and Communications.
It must be Wednesday at 5 because the Devil's Advocate's on the air.
Every Wednesday.
Hey, join us. I hope you stick around and tell your friends. We have a little fun with it. So.
And you can stream online as well. So tell your family, you know, your friends who may be up in places that we can't reach. The Raider 881.com. Listen now on the right-hand side of the page. We are reaching the world.
I like it. You know, it's funny because I try to stream while we're doing the show, but it's confusing because it's like an echo and it's just weird.
So. And it's like just delayed by a few seconds.
Two headphones and it's off. Yeah, it's just awkward. So I quit.
Yeah, we look like DJs in here with like two or three just sets of headphones like laying around. You can hear my bassy voice thumping out.
Yeah, it's better with multiple headphones. It gets even deeper. It's pretty amazing.
In
two
stereo.
Or three. We're going to talk about two or three in the Saturday Night Live montage coming. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
There's a tease. We'll
at
come
the
to
end
that.
Of the show. You have to stick around for it.
So we'll start with this. We couldn't responsibly just ignore what happened Monday in Boston.
We actually talked about this on link.
But we also feel like our show is sort of political satire. We take sides on issue. That clearly does not lend itself to satire or taking sides. Terrible tragedy. Our thoughts and prayers go out to anyone affected by that. And the president and Republican leaders actually stepped up as early as Monday and said, this is not a political issue. On a day like this, we aren't Republicans and Democrats, we're Americans. And we parrot that message. And that's why that will not be the topic of our show today.
However,
we have a good legislative show. Although I do have some beefs about the coverage of the Boston.
Not the issue, but the way some people might have talked about it.
And we even had a dispute about this, so we'll go ahead and share it. I put on CNN Tuesday morning. I'm watching the coverage bright and early. It must have been about 15 hours after the incident.
So like 5 in the morning.
It was pretty early. And CNN is on with their live coverage, and they come on and have, and I love this, it wasn't even celebrities, it was Boston celebs opine on Boston. And I'm like, really?
Down with the lingo?
Really, do I care what Ben Affleck had to say on his Twitter account about the bombings in Boston?
Well, he did win an Emmy.
Yeah, and I loved Argo. I actually really enjoyed Argo. It was a fun movie, and we kind of parroted a line from Argo. Argo, okay, never mind. I can't say it on the radio. But yeah, love that. Fun movie. You should watch it.
Close.
But really, I'm like, the next less than a day after, do I really care what the... And Ben Affleck is from Boston. I get it. And he wasn't the only one. And it was Boston celebrities, so I partly get it. But by the same token, really? Shrug. I'm like, give me some news.
I like how you voiced that action. Really? Shrug. I roll.
I said hashtag winning last semester. Remember
that's
that?
That's true, yeah. See, we're all up in this.
Yeah, that was fun.
So you, now that we've touched the topic.
Yeah,
you know,
so what's your take? You think it's just fine to come in less than, you know, 15, 16 hours after an event like this and ask celebrities what they think? Really, is that important?
You know, celebrities are people too. And I mean, if you're going to cover regular citizens' opinions of what happened in places, you know, like media, whether it's social media or on the air, you know, I mean, there's no harm in talking to these people, especially since they do have that kind of
I'll give you this.
Sorry, I got a message.
At least they were Boston celebrities.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people from there who might have known. I'm sure they've been to the Boston Marathon before. I mean, if I live there, I might go once. But, you know, this impacts them on a personal level. So I don't see the harm in it. Now, if you had someone from like L.A. going, you know, well, you know, this was
okay,
a tragedy.
Okay, that's a valid point. Madonna weighing in from England telling
us. Yeah, exactly.
Us
yeah, that's going to help.
Okay, I got you. I'll concede that point. I just thought I don't need to hear from celebrities. We do have a real issue we're going to talk about, and it's on the legislative front burner this week. It's actually being discussed. Well, is it fair to say being discussed? There's a lot of humor involved in the way we're going to portray this story this week.
That's how we discuss this.
I hope you'll share our humor. But yeah, we do have a topic on the agenda this week, which is going on in Capitol Hill. And we'll introduce that, I think, with the montage.
You ever hear people say, guns kill people? That's like saying pencils misspell words. Think about it.
This is about doing the right thing for all the families who are here that have been torn apart by gun violence.
You can keep talking about guns, 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 guns all you want. No, 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 that has no effect over here because we're being victimized by thugs with handguns. So the bill that they are advocating for, it has no significant bearing on our urban community.
I'm so excited to announce that this week, the Senate voted 68-31 to begin debating the idea of discussing gun control.
First of all, most Americans agree that we need stricter background checks. If our bill passes, no individual can purchase a handgun from a private dealer without being asked, are you a good person?
If you have received a concealed weapons permit from any state in the country, other states should honor that when you go buy a permit. All Americans have a right to that. All Americans have a Second Amendment right to buy a firearm, to possess one for both self-defense and for sport.
It's time to restore the ban on military-style assault weapons and a 10-round limit for magazines.
We're also hoping to limit the amount of ammunition you can carry in magazines. We did not do that. But we have agreed to limit the number of guns you can shoot at once to two. Mm-hmm. Now, caught shooting three or more guns at the same time, we prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Yeah. Unfortunately, the punishment is we give you a fourth gun.
Opponents and powerful pro-gun groups like the National Rifle Association say the White House is penalizing legal gun owners when the real problem is criminals and the mentally ill.
And my skepticism about gun laws is that criminals don't follow the law. They don't care what the law is.
Is this bill what we wanted? No. No. Is it what the NRA wanted? No. But does it at least help in some small way? No.
You want to play rough? Okay. Say hello to my little friend!
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, the life's worth it.
Wow, that was awesome. Bianca Yarbrough with an amazing montage for the show this
week. She's here with us taking a well-deserved bow.
It was so good.
That was a really, really good montage.
Good.
We were howling, of course, at the end with a little excerpt from Scarface.
Say hello to my little thing.
It was so epic. That was really well done, so thank you.
Okay, so.
So I hope you have a sense of humor about something as serious as gun control, because that's what we'll be talking about today, because that's what lawmakers
are talking about
are
today.
Voting about thinking about talking about gun control up on Capitol Hill.
We have to debate on whether or not we need to open this topic for discussion and then debate some more.
Exactly right.
That's what we're going to do today. After our first break, we're going to come back, do the coin flip, and then we'll see how right I am. You're listening to The Devil's Advocate on KTXT The Raider 88.1.
Where we're loaded for bear.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Devil's Advocate
on KTXT. Do we have to do vibrato to go with that song?
Soon. I mean, I used to be able to do that, but I mean, I haven't sang in a few years. As I was saying, welcome back. What do you got over there? What are you doing?
I found this under the crap.
Jesus! Careful with that thing.
Dr. K, don't touch that, all right?
Good thing that's bulletproof glass.
Right? Jeez. Oh, God. Jason, you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right over here, but that was mine. Yeah, I left that under there on purpose. No one was supposed to touch that.
Well, jeez.
I'll put it back with the live bell, and we won't tell anybody it was there.
Would you mind reloading it, though? I mean, I had it full.
Oh, God, no.
Sorry. You can't. I better not touch that.
Put it down. I'll reload it later.
If you're concerned.
Yeah, somebody with a CHL.
It is still against, I believe, state law, but certainly university policy, to be carrying on campus, so I'm only shooting my app. I'm not actually discharging a firearm. I do have cigars.
Just throwing that out there.
I do have cigars on my desk in my office in this building. I just never smoke them, so it's okay.
Wait, you don't? Why? In the building,
no,
of course.
It's a largely non-smoking campus, but then it also affects your health benefits and stuff.
We haven't talked about that before, have we?
No.
Non-smoking on campus?
If you want a cigar that you can't smoke, come on up anytime and just grab one from my office.
I think I might.
Yeah.
Because okay. That's how I got this voice.
So instead of a coin flip, maybe... Okay.
Hey.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Man, someone's going to tune in. They're going to freak.
So let's do this. And yeah, I better give another disclaimer like the War of the Worlds broadcast.
Right.
It's just an app.
Just jokes.
It's just an app.
Just jokes.
We have a perspective. There are actually a couple. You heard some humor from Saturday Night Live. We are going to play that in its entirety later because it's just too darn funny to not share. It's hysterical.
Unfortunately, the punishment is we give them guns.
Sadly, really, really close to the truth on Capitol Hill, which we'll allude to here as we go. But there were two lawmakers. Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania, Republican, and Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, both gun owners who have led a compromise between Democrats and Republicans this week to try to hammer out a deal up on Capitol Hill.
That's right. Across the aisle agreement, or at least compromise, right?
Yeah, exactly. As far as the lead flies across the aisle.
It only took... 4 or 5 years.
Well, and we're not exactly there near anywhere yet.
Well, no, still, but I mean, at least we're trying.
There's a whole lot of truth in that Saturday Night Live clip. There really is. It's hysterical. It's sadly like right on the money. It's pretty funny. But anyway, Toomey and Manchin did come up with this compromise. They are bringing it to the floor of the Senate, and they're going to try to get it through the Senate and to the House. The House, I think, will be a bigger uphill battle. We'll talk about why in a minute. But let's go ahead and listen to their perspective first. We'll come out. I'll put away the gun app.
Thank
and,
God.
And get out the coin flip app.
We have an agreement on an amendment to prevent criminals and the mentally ill and insane from getting firearms and harming people. That's extremely important for all of us. We agree that we need a commission on mass violence. And this commission is going to be made up with people with expertise. People who have expertise in guns, people who have expertise in mental illness, people who have expertise in school safety, and people who have expertise in video violence. We have a culture of violence, and we have a whole generation who basically has been desensitized. And if you go around and talk to the young people of today, it just is what it is. And we've got to find out how we can change and reverse that. We also need to protect legal gun owners. Legal gun owners like myself and Pat, who basically cherish the Second Amendment rights that we have.
I'm a gun owner, and the rights that are enshrined in the Second Amendment are very, very important to me personally, as I know they are to so many people across Pennsylvania. My record shows this. But I've got to tell you candidly, I don't consider criminal background checks to be gun control. I think it's just common sense. If you pass a criminal background check, you get to buy a gun. It's no problem. It's the people who fail a criminal or a mental health background check that we don't want having guns.
But today is just the start of a healthy debate that must end with the Senate and House hopefully passing these common sense measures and the president signing it into law. Back home where I come from, we have common sense, we have nonsense, and now we have gun sense.
Wow, that was a really poignant play on words. We have a Wordsworth over here.
Not quite sure what he even meant by that, but okay, we have gun sense, so.
And we have common sense, nonsense, and gun sense. America.
Sounds better when you say it. Sounds a little more Texan when you say it.
Well, that was the idea. He may have been from Pennsylvania, but he sure was saying a lot of things that ring true here.
Was he saying about illegal gun ownership?
That was something that raised my eyebrows. If you listened in last week, we had Pete Bruton on the air. Came over here to talk about legal versus illegal immigrants and how the Associated Press is talking about this. And the entire idea behind the Associated Press changing their rules was people can't be illegal. But at the same time, can people be legal?
So gun owners. So are you an illegal gun owner?
Yeah, are you an illegal gun owner, or do you just own guns illegally? Now,
in our audience is either a legal gun owner or a non-gun owner, and that there aren't any illegal gun owners in our audience that we don't have to worry about. But
yeah, if you are an illegal gun owner, call me and we will sue somebody.
Nice.
So. We have a few administrative duties.
Look out! He's got an app. I can shoot again. Okay.
we were trying to flip the coin and shoot it in midair.
Yeah, we wanted to do that, but we couldn't run both apps at the same time.
Like one of us was Doc Holliday over here.
You can't miss with an app. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. But unfortunately, we don't have the technology for that yet.
Exactly.
Next week, we're going to call Apple and be like, so we need this thing for a show.
So let me do this. I'm going to share some numbers. After I share some numbers, we will flip a coin and then
we'll
take sides.
Here's what we're
going
to do. Like we do, we're going to tell you the facts and then we're going to... You know, tell you.
We're going to make up. We're going to tell you some facts. Wait, did I?
Okay. And then we're going to make up the rest.
Exactly. All right. So the numbers. What do you think? What do you think has the support for gun control? And I'll sneak this in. You'll actually hear this later from the president. The president said 90% of Americans support stricter gun control. Now, I think it depends, and this comes
from... The president also should remind everybody that 90% of statistics are made up.
Nice. So, you know. Lying with statistics. I like it.
We learned that in advanced reporting.
So here are the numbers. If you ask the question in a certain way, you get different numbers. And that's pretty typical. And I do social science research. And so we're always very, very careful about how we phrase questions.
Sorry. Wow. He starts talking about research and I get...
Okay.
Sleepy.
80% of the audience is more attentive and informed than my co-host. I think that's a statistic that can share safely.
Personal attacks.
There were three choices in a recent poll. And it was, do you want more strict gun control, no change, or less strict gun control? What do you think the numbers shook out?
I would probably say, I don't know, 60% for stricter, 50% for no change.
You said 110%.
And 30%
for 140%.
I'm glad you got the
30%
joke.
For less strict.
Thanks,
I got
everybody.
It. Okay, very nice. No, I like it. You're not, well, if I curve your numbers like you did, I think it kind of works. Actually, this is kind of interesting. All three numbers come in under 50%. 40%, 47% went more strict, 39% no change. So about half went more strict, but just under half. 2 out of 5 want no change. About 10%, it's actually 11%, 1 in 10 want less strict. I think Ted Nugent voted more than once, and that's where we got that 11%.
Because, you know, anarchy in the U.S., you know, gotta take back our government.
Next time you watch Ted Nugent,
from those empty chairs.
I just want to point this out. If you ever see him on TV, he'll wear a hat. He'll be wearing a hat. I promise this is the case. He'll be wearing a hat with a razor blade metal arrow tip on his hat. Look for that the next time you
see him.
There's
a big angry dude swarming down the hallway. I think he's coming this way.
Wait,
it looks like the Nuge.
Let me put away my coin flip app.
Yeah, get the
gun
out. You'll scare him.
Yeah, that'll work. Not.
It's the Nuge.
Anyway, again, 47% more strict, 39% no change, 11% less strict. What's interesting is back in December after the Newtown shootings in Connecticut, 57% wanted more strict gun control. So that's dropped 10% over the last 6 months, 5 months since that shooting. I guess 4 months since that shooting. And so this does indicate that there's a clock ticking on the president getting something done on gun control.
Right, but at the same time is on either side of this issue, you know, whether or not, you know, conservative or liberal. Yeah. Is it wise to pass panic legislation in response to a tragedy? Like right now, do we want to start banning
maybe we should flip a coin and then have that conversation?
No, because I mean, maybe. But I think that goes on either side, you know, like.
Yeah, you're right. You could be wrong on either side. I'm with you.
No, go. Well, shut up.
Okay.
Okay, so now we're going to actually do our thing.
Do you want to call it?
Yeah, I'll call it today. I'm going to go heads with liberal.
Okay, heads, you're liberal? Heads, you're liberal.
Heck yeah.
All right.
First time in like 3 weeks.
Exactly. I'm going to change apps. I'm going back to the other one. It's more fun.
Yeah, just in case.
Exactly.
Got to keep that handy.
Stop loading.
There you go.
Okay, sorry. There we go. Okay, so...
the round.
So you're on the left. I'm on the right. I think I'm going to argue this. 57% support for more stringent gun control back in December. 47% now. I think we're returning to stasis. I think that 47% is more representative of where we typically are as a country, which argues, despite the horrible tragedy in Connecticut, in the Aurora movie theaters in Colorado, in Columbine High School some years ago, Virginia Tech, despite all of those, a majority of Americans don't support more strict gun control laws. I just think most people oppose it. It's a democracy, and that's where we are.
Well, obviously by the statistics, you just said, a majority of people don't support it.
Correct.
Because, you know, so wait.
Well, any way you look, it's a plurality at best. Yeah. None of these numbers are over 50%. So this is my point. More than half of Americans don't, and I can't say oppose, they just don't support a change to more strict.
Okay, well,
divided.
The problem with this is you were just able to list off five things, you know, five events in recent history that have been, you know, committed by these guns that we're looking at either controlling more or banning or limiting access to or making ammunition more difficult to acquire. You know, these things that could be stopped or at least slowed. If we can stop one out of five shootings with stricter legislation, then we have won a legislative victory.
What a great segue you just left me with.
Thank you.
Well done. I appreciate that. So let me tick through some of the facts, as long as we're citing numbers. And as always, we'll get to a bunch of numbers in the program. So here's what's on the table in the compromise that we alluded to, again, with Joe Manchin and Pat Toomey, West Virginia and Pennsylvania. And their compromise that they handed out was pretty simple. It's actually very, very narrow. All they want to do is they want expanded background checks for gun shows and internet sales. Right now, you can go to a gun show and buy guns online, much the way you could buy a gun from your neighbor without any kind of background check. They want those background checks, and that's about it. We already have background checks now if you're buying from a licensed gun dealer in his shop. Or if you go to a pawn shop and buy, any licensed gun dealer has to put you through a background check. There are a bunch of things that are not on the table and a bunch of the things got left off. I'll point them out. Private sales, military assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, and a national registry of gun owners. None of those things are even in the bill being discussed. They're probably already off the table as far as issues, which I think is kind of interesting. I think there's just so much support among the majority of the public and among their lawmakers against any kind of more stringent gun control, that you're really just going to play around the edges and you're not going to get anywhere on this issue. And by the way, I have to ask you, Adam Lanza, do you think it would have stopped him and his shooting, you know, the latest shooting spree? Would any of these policies, would more stringent background checks have affected him?
It's hard to say because wasn't he diagnosed with a mental illness?
Well, but he didn't buy a gun from a licensed gun owner, so none of this would have affected him. He didn't buy it online. He didn't get it at a gun show. He took his mom's gun, and she owned it legally and had no mental health issues, no felony convictions, nothing that would preclude her from legally buying the gun, which she bought legally. So she legally owned the gun. He illegally took her gun, executed this mass killing, and the same thing could happen tomorrow under the new laws if it passes. And it may not pass. I'll get into some numbers in a minute.
Right, but you're using a single event as an absolutist example of what would not be affected. I mean, at the same time, you have to acknowledge that
Klebold and Harris in Columbine, they did not go out and buy their gun from a gun show or a gun dealer or online. They took their guns from their homes where their parents owned guns and had taught them to use guns.
No, but you're ignoring the fact that there are instances where you can prevent a crime from happening. It's the same thing. In order to buy a gun, you have to go through a 72-hour waiting period. That is a legislative tool that is used to prevent what they call crimes of passion.
Exactly.
Which is a cheating husband comes home.
Anthony and I have been close to shooting each other repeatedly.
Yeah, so you know that 72 hours keeps him alive because
exactly.
I'm a crack shot, at least on my left side. And
Gotta love a sense of humor. Okay.
So this thing is it's a step in the right direction, and
I think it's a step in no direction. All it is one more law to further around the edges restrict legal gun ownership when all of these crimes are committed illegally by people who illegally had guns in their hands. I'm sorry, by people who illegally possessed a firearm. I'm not saying they're illegal, just their gun possession was. I don't think any of these policy changes are going to impact it. What's happening is we're getting closer and closer, inching closer to a national gun registry, and that is a hornet's nest. That's a big, big problem for a host of reasons. Even the ACLU, which, as you know, is a right-wing organization.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do nothing strengthen the government.
Even the ACLU has come out against a national gun registry, say it's clearly a violation of records kept on persons without probable cause, and that it's just wrong to have a national gun registry. The other thing, and this would be a huge hornet's nest with a gun registry, if you buy a gun legally, you register it legally, you don't object to any of that. Some guy comes, breaks into your house, breaks into your safe, steals that gun and commits a crime with it. Guess what? An attorney can now visit the gun registry and come knock on your door, especially if the criminal who pulled the trigger is broke, but you're not. Say you have a good job, a nice house, a nice car, all of that becomes the property of that attorney who can now come sue you because of that gun registry. It's just a terrible, terrible idea. And all of these policies are inching toward that outcome, and I think it's a big, big problem.
I disagree. I think that this step is – I don't see how this will actually limit a legal, proper gun owner. I mean, it's another sheet of paper you have to fill out. And, it's going to sound really cliche, and even as a law student, I don't entirely agree with the statement. There's not a problem if you have nothing to fear. Like, if you have a reason to not pass the background check, maybe you shouldn't have the gun.
Have you been looking at what I've searched at the library? I hope not.
See, that's what I mean. Okay. Like, this guy over here, if he doesn't get tenure, who knows what could happen.
Look out. He's got an app.
Look out, new dean, coming into town just the past couple of days.
Shame on you. Who's visiting this week? Ooh, sorry.
There you go.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, the other argument is, and you made a great point, which is, we're just asking legal gun owners to do a little bit more, and how does it affect them? And so the big problem is all of these crimes were committed by illegal gun owners who are going to feel no compulsion whatsoever to follow any new law any more than they do now. They go and buy guns on the street. Why don't you ask the president and Rahm Emanuel how stringent gun laws are working out in D.C. and in Chicago right now? Because they have very stringent municipal gun laws, and yet a couple of the most violent cities in the country with gun crime.
Right, but the problem with that is by saying, you can protect yourself with a gun, is totally promoting vigilante justice. And sure, in a self-defense position, I will acknowledge that a firearm in your hand will, protect your family, protect your belongings. But at the same time, you're giving people free reign to just shoot somebody in the chest, just because they're a legal gun owner and call it self-defense. You don't have to kill a person to defend your home. That's how I feel. You don't have to.
What if the person coming in the front door or persons are packing heat? Your baseball bat's not going to hold up too well then, is it?
No, but you can still have a .45 and scare the out of somebody.
But you're still going to have a .45 legally, so you're still advocating the gun possession.
Right, the gun possession is a problem. It's telling people
I just can't shoot it.
You're missing what I'm saying.
Clearly,
is by saying that a gun makes self-defense more viable is telling people it's okay to kill people.
No.
Yes.
It's okay to protect yourself. Look, let's say you're in a rural area and you're going to call the police because somebody's trying to break in your front door. How much time do you have? Clearly not enough for the police to get there. Nothing against the police, but for crying out loud, they can't read minds. You need to be able to protect yourself.
But does protecting yourself with a lethal firearm, give you the right to just blow somebody away?
But that's not what I'm talking about. Has taking away guns, limiting the rights of gun ownership among folks who would follow gun laws, people who obey the law in Chicago, in New York, in Washington, D.C., in the district, can't have guns, it's very difficult to jump through hoops and get your hands on a firearm. If you do, there are restrictions on it. And it's the same in the UK and Australia, some other places, where guns can be used for hunting only, only certain kinds of guns. They have to be locked up in certain places, and they're not valuable at all for personal protection. My beef is in a place like in the UK, maybe it's a blanket elimination or reduction of the number of guns just out in the world. That might be, and I'm sure that's the end game for you and your folks on the left, you could make a
You
could make a hypothetical argument that that could work in the country. It's a moot point because this country is constitutionally just different. Now, that's hypothetical only. In practice, it's absurd because what you do is you disarm the law-abiding people and you allow almost unabated the people who break the law to go on being armed, and you get huge problems like you have in Chicago, which has a tremendous per capita murder rate, up over 500 homicides. I mean, a couple people die a day by gun crime in Chicago. It's outrageous. And the folks who should legally be able to carry guns are restricted. And guess what? Still lots and lots of guns on the street in Chicago. Gun control just hasn't worked. All you're doing is taking guns out of the people. And these are the ones you alluded to. If you're not misbehaving, if you're doing nothing wrong at the library with your gun, what do you have to fear? Well, then what does the government have to fear with those folks who behave having guns?
Oh, the what does the government have to fear argument, because we're totally going to overthrow the United States government with our Second Amendment.
Amendment was never about hunting. It was always about protecting the people from anarchy by the government. They have to be armed. That's the reason it's there. And remember the historical origins of it in the 18th century.
I was going to say.
And where the founding fathers came from. It seemed like a really good idea at the time, and it's now enshrined in the Constitution. All right, well, we should take a break, come back. We'll get some help.
Before we jump on that topic.
We'll get some help. We'll come back and we'll hear from the president and from Marco Rubio on the right. And we'll share some other perspectives on this really interesting issue. And we'll get into some numbers on Capitol Hill, which are just about as divided and promising as the numbers I shared about the polls. Back in two.
All but nothing but bad luck. Since the day I saw the cat at my door. So I came into you, sweet lady, answering your mystical call. Crystal ball on the table, showing the future, the past. Same cat with them evil eyes, and I knew it was a spell she cast. She's just a devil woman with evil on her mind. Beware the devil. Showing the future, the past. Same cat.
I know you love that song, but that's not what they pay us for. Come on, come back.
Sorry. That's what Matt Smith is here for, KTXT's music director.
Really good taste, man. I'm liking the music,
yeah,
I have to admit.
Just killing it, man. Just killing it.
Yeah, and in case any of this reference to the devil ever makes any of you uncomfortable, it's just in keeping with the theme, the devil's advocate. And again, we always try to take both sides of an issue.
It's that 1960s devil music.
We're not actually saying anything like that. So just kind of have a sense of humor, I hope, and roll with it. So since I kind of eviscerated you for the last couple minutes, maybe you should get some help.
Yeah, I got president.
He said yes. He admitted it. I can't believe it. Wait. Yes.
Ugh,
sorry.
Trapped me. I hate that. Hate it. I was agreeing that, yes, I do have backup. Not that I need it, but that's okay.
Okay.
So I have President Obama, a sound clip from him that I prepared just to make sure that you didn't think you were winning this thing. So here's Barack Obama on gun control.
There's only one thing that can stand in the way of change that just about everybody agrees on, and that's politics in Washington. You would think that with those numbers, Congress would rush to make this happen. That's what you would think. If our democracy is working the way it's supposed to, and 90% of the American people agree on something, in the wake of a tragedy, you'd think this would not be a heavy lift. And yet some folks back in Washington are already floating the idea that they may use political stunts to prevent votes on any of these reforms. We need a vote. I've also heard some in the Washington press suggest that what happens to gun violence legislation in Congress this week will either be a political victory or defeat for me. Connecticut, this is not about me. This is not about politics. This is about doing the right thing for all the families who are here that have been torn apart by gun violence. It's about them and all the families going forward so we can prevent this from happening again. That's what it's about. It's about the law enforcement officials putting their lives at risk. That's what this is about.
Can I get an amen? President Obama.
That is a hard act to follow. I was just telling Anthony, I wish we could talk like that on the radio and get that kind of, just can't do it. We just can't do that kind of cadence. That was, I have to give it to you.
It was very, like, very well said.
I would start cheering for you guys if you did that.
Okay. Yes.
Bless you, Jason. I appreciate it.
We also get Josh Cook coming here sometimes. Tony, because, you know, I'm the star of the show.
Clearly.
You know, plus Dr. K doesn't exactly sound the best.
Yeah, exactly.
But
no, I'm with you.
But yeah,
what was Jason saying earlier? A gun in the hand is worth two in the bush. Is that what he was? Why is that funny? Okay, sorry.
Wow. Okay. Hold on.
His hands are on the board. I swear, we can see him through the window. All right, President, very inspiring speech that he gave. Out stumping, which is what he does. He's always campaigning. He's always even though he's been reelected.
I was going to say he's
never
going to
run for office again.
Anymore.
He's always in campaign mode, and he's not the first or the last. This dates back at least to Bill Clinton, possibly back to Ronald Reagan. But he's always campaigning. He was out on the road stumping for support from the public to lean on their senators. Now, he's seen this poll, too. He knows his numbers are slipping, that he's down 10% in support for gun control.
But we still need a vote. He's not telling people, you know, at least in this speech, he's not saying, you know, we're going to take away your guns. He's saying we need a vote. The people need the chance for their representatives to make this decision instead of just, you know, pushing it aside and saying, oh, we know what they want. You know, we need a vote. We need a vote. We need a voice. Like he said, I'm not as good at it as he is, but, you know, he's got a couple decades experience on me.
I'm not sure anybody's as good as the president is at this stuff. Yeah, he's really good at this. It's actually a lot of fun to watch. Those are my favorite kinds of speeches. I'm not a big fan of the historical oratory. Not a big fan, but when you get right down to it,
Dr. K prefers the sports voice whenever he gives a presentation.
Can't stand that. That's worse than CNN talking about social media and celebrities. When there's, so let's talk about some numbers. You talked about a vote, and there was a vote. There was a vote this week on gun control in the Senate. You remember the outcome of that vote?
No, you'll have to tell me.
They allude to it in the Saturday Night Live.
Because I don't have time to just sit around and watch the news anymore because I'm too busy making
It's a good
news.
Life being faculty. It's a lot harder being student, I will say. It's kind of fun. So,
thank you.
Which is why I have time for this radio show. There was a vote in the Senate, and actually 16 Republicans joined the Democrats and voted in support of talking about gun control.
Talking about the discussion about gun
There's
control.
A procedure in the Senate, which is called cloture, C-L-O-T-U-R-E.
Oh, I love talking about legislative policy.
Okay. And I know you often use that word in conversation.
Yeah.
Like, could I get some cloture for this burger? So cloture is basically a little like an anti-filibuster. Cloture is, are we going to have a filibuster, or can at least 60 of us vote on this and agree to start discussing it and get it on the floor? And more than 60 senators did agree to vote.
I like that, the anti-filibuster.
To discuss the issue. So the issue is on the floor and it is being talked about. And that's as far as it's gotten so far. So 16 Republicans voted for cloture, which means we'll allow you to bring it on the floor and we'll debate it and bring it up for a vote in a few days after we've talked about it. 16 Republicans voted for that, but so far only about 3 Republicans have any interest in voting for any kind of gun control measures.
So here, this is what this is coming out to. It's, or as I see it, Dr. K's cronies in Washington bringing this up as some sort of trap.
My cronies.
Like they're going to say, oh, it's okay, we'll talk about it. And then they're going to, you know, pull a Rand Paul traditional filibuster 13 hours on the stand.
That, I gotta
By the
say,
way,
that was epic.
Very cool.
Yeah, it really was.
The first filibuster in, 50 years?
No, actually, I think there was one in the 90s. So it hasn't been all that long, but extremely rare. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Because usually what happens is someone will go up there, you know, Senator from Nebraska has the floor, and he goes up there and he kind of leans on the podium.
Oh, his,
and goes,
yeah, his buddies were throwing him bones left and right. They were, yeah, the Republicans were all lined up to like talk for a while.
Yeah.
And see, there are rules about it. Go ahead, and then I'll.
So what usually happens instead of this traditional thing is this is what we just mentioned, the anti-filibuster. The actual filibuster nowadays basically means you go up there, look around, lean on your podium and go, filibuster.
Well, it's all about votes. And so if you can show, and the Republicans have done this often in the Senate over the last 5 years, if you can show that you're not going to have 60 votes for cloture, then that's considered a filibuster. And so you don't actually have to get up and do it. Rand Paul actually did get up there and do it. And it was interesting. The rules about filibuster are interesting. You ever see those contests where if you keep your hand on the car for a long time, you'll win the car?
Or
a kissing contest,
like, yeah,
or a marathon
like a
dance
wall.
Contest. Yeah, and every hour you'll get a 5-minute break, and you can run off and do something.
Yeah,
filibusters do not allow breaks.
Break. Yeah.
There's no 5-minute break.
You cannot leave the stand. If you're going to step away, you have to keep a hand on it, or else your filibuster is considered broken.
And the other
issue, there are no bathroom breaks.
Right, which is pretty,
no food breaks.
Pretty draconian. And other people cannot take over and talk for you. They're only allowed to ask questions. And so the strategy during the Rand Paul filibuster, and this is just a long aside, forgive me, but we love this stuff.
Yeah, like I said, I love legislative policy. That wasn't sarcasm.
So a number of his fellow lawmakers got up to ask questions, except it took 14 minutes to ask a question. And he was able to sit down, drink some water, catch his breath, rest his feet. And then when their question, their 14-minute question was over, he'd get back up and resume his filibuster.
And
a number
like,
of lawmakers did that, which allowed him to get to many hours. I think it was 13 hours. Crazy.
Yeah. And these weren't those questions where they would be like we had last week, the 3-minute question, and then, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, this was Rand Paul taking it and just running.
Yeah,
with it.
He had to have an hour answer, and that was the gift. But anyway, yeah. So some other numbers. Three, I mentioned 16 senators voted for cloture to discuss the issue.
So what was the total vote for cloture? Was it in the 70s?
No, it was in the upper 60s.
Which is out of a Senate of 100, in
right.
case you forgot.
Exactly. Now, three lawmakers, Pat Toomey, we mentioned earlier, Republican from Pennsylvania, gun owner, Susan Collins.
We have common sense, nonsense.
Exactly. And we have all three present up on Capitol Hill this week. Susan Collins, a fairly
see, it's funny because
fairly liberal Republican and probably not a gun owner from Maine. And Mark Kirk from Illinois, also a Republican. And possibly John McCain, who says he's open to the idea.
So how many other people do you want to just throw under the bus?
Well, no, these are four who just might vote for some kind of gun control. And that's not enough because the vote right now, in fact, there was a Washington Post published on it Tuesday morning, 52-4 And again, these are these modest restrictions to increasing background checks to gun shows and internet sales. That's the only thing we're talking about here. 52 yes, 39 no.
Which remember, is not enough.
Remember, in the Senate, it's not a simple majority. It's 60 votes. You have to exceed 60 votes in order to get something passed.
So we're still short.
Well short, 8 votes short. And now, if you think, lest you think it's just the Democrats lined up for it and the Republicans against it, there are a handful of Democrats, 5.
So this is not a party line vote.
Not quite. Mark Begich from Alaska, Mark Pryor from Arkansas. I actually sat next to his dad one time. I'll have to tell you that story sometime.
Guys, no joke. He's doing this off the top of his head.
Max
no
Baucus notes. From Montana, Kay Hagan from North Carolina, and Mary Landrieu, the name may sound familiar, from Louisiana. All Democrats, but think about North Carolina, Louisiana, Alaska, places where gun ownership is pretty darn popular. And see, these are Democrats. Even if they don't personally own guns or advocate guns, it's political electoral suicide to not advocate for guns because you could be out of a job.
Especially in places like Louisiana.
Yeah. Now, there's another perspective. We've been talking a lot about guns. You alluded to this earlier. It's not always about guns. So let's get another perspective here. Marco Rubio, the new senator from Florida, who had an interesting perspective on this, not closed-minded to talking about guns, just doesn't want to talk only about guns.
We're on the bill now, and I hope that we can get into an open amendment process. For example, I hope we can pass an amendment to that bill that says that we're going to start prosecuting people who illegally are trying to buy guns and getting around the background check system. I hope we can have a debate about violence in America, about what's causing this. Everyone's focused on what people are using to commit the violence. I don't think there's nearly enough focus on the violence, which is the fundamental problem that we face. I also think it's important to protect the rights of Americans, of law-abiding Americans, to possess firearms via the Second Amendment, which is a constitutional right. You know, I didn't write the Constitution. That's in there. And anytime you're going to do anything that touches upon that, you need to provide a very high standard. But my bigger hope is that this issue doesn't just become about guns, that we can broaden it to make it about violence and deal with things like mental health and prosecutions of those who are criminals but have been trying to buy guns. The debate needs to be about violence. And what I expressed to them, and I think that they would agree with that, is that this issue cannot just be about guns. It has to be holistically about violence as it impacts the whole country. And I hope that we'll take the opportunity here over the next few weeks as we debate this bill to look for ways to raise that issue. And I think they would be very supportive of that.
Just in case anybody forgot, Marco Rubio did not write the Constitution.
That's what I'm saying.
And neither did Dr. Kay,
oh, for crying
who only
out loud.
Thinks it has 19 amendments.
The genius, look, in the 57 states I visited, they had 19. I wonder if anybody gets that reference.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
The president campaigning as Senator Obama in 2008 said the 57 states. That's okay. George Herbert Walker Bush in 1988 referred on September 7th.
Bush won.
Yeah, to a day that will live in infamy, even though he was 3 months before Pearl Harbor Day. So it happens.
Okay. Anyway, so
I can't believe you outed me saying that.
Well,
anyway,
I'm just saying,
there are 27 amendments, and it's important enough to be the second right after the First Amendment, which protects free speech. Clearly, the founders took gun ownership seriously.
The first one is our personal favorite.
Okay.
Even though I can't get this one to shut up about it sometimes. So Rubio does, I have to say this, I'm going to take his segment. I'm going to say, you know, even on the other side, Rubio does have a great point about the things that we need to address. The war on drugs, you know, which we'll debate another day probably.
Well, right. Psychotropic drugs or even drugs which flow freely around on campus, I'm sure. You know, stimulants to
not
help.
Not that we're advocating drug abuse.
To help with attention, et cetera. Things that are diagnosed and prescribed. But look, that's one issue. The violence in the culture is another issue. I mean, I got to say, I love to play Gran Turismo. And when I play Gran Turismo, I probably shouldn't get
really violent.
Shouldn't get in a real car and drive for a few minutes after that. You know, I'm just saying. It does
just
have
get
an
in the mood.
It can have an effect. So anyway, so we're probably not going to settle gun control, but it's okay because neither is the Senate. They're probably not going to agree on this and get it settled. Now, there's one interesting break. I'll share this one other thing. There's a large gun advocacy group. You know what I'm talking about.
The NRA?
Not that one.
Oh.
Okay. It's the not
the
that
other
large.
One.
Yeah. It's the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. I'm a fan of the Second Amendment and have never in my life heard of this organization, which is 40 years old. Dates
wow.
back to 1972. The Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. NRA has 4 million members. It does not, absolutely does not endorse this compromise by Manchin and Toomey to expand background checks to gun shows and internet purchases. The Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms does support the compromise, and they have 650,000 members.
No, watch out.
So that's interesting.
Outvote the NRA.
The door has a crack open. Now, one of the reasons the Citizens Committee supports it is because the bill agrees to go hands-off on all this other stuff, like a national gun registry, checks on private sales, limits on private sales, limits on caps, magazines, yeah, on assault weapons. All those things get dropped off the table, and that's why the Citizens Committee says, hey, we'll give you 10% and keep 90.
Right, because they understand compromise, unlike the NRA. They're going to take our guns, and actually we need missiles to protect ourselves from that government.
Cold, dead hands. Let's take a break. We'll come back and do a quick lightning round and then share some fun with you. Back to the Devil's Advocate on 88.1 The Raider.
You're listening to Undercurrents, and we got some great music line. Okay, no. So, for our last segment, we have a couple of things that we need to get to that we can't devote an entire show to, but we feel definitely needs to be mentioned.
These are important topics.
Yeah.
We mentioned Marco Rubio.
Important.
He's from where? His family's from Cuba, I think.
Cuba.
Cuba's in the news this week.
Okay, so.
So what time is it?
It is time for
the lightning round.
Sorry.
First up, a visit to Cuba. My wife's been there twice, by the way. Wait, I'm probably
sure.
Not allowed to say
that's
that, so don't
legal.
Tell anybody. But
okay, so, the topic for today is Beyonce and Jay-Z, who is now a sports agent, by the way, in addition to his lengthy resume.
Is that right?
Went on for a New York Yankees player.
Celebrity opens all kinds of doors.
Yeah, so they went to Cuba for their honeymoon.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. So heads, I'll be for this visit. Tails, I'll be against this visit.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here's the flip. Heads, I'm going to support them on this trip. They're,
okay.
You know, they were invited to go visit. They spent a week in Cuba. I say, why not? The president has been kind of lowering the walls to visiting Cuba, making it easier to go in there. The embargo hasn't worked. I mean, what's your problem?
Well, the problem is that Cuba as a country is extremely anti-American.
Communist.
I mean, yeah, communist, not to mention that. I was going to leave that out. But I mean, now that you bring it up, to pretend like Cuba is a friendly country to the United States is a huge problem. Sure, it may be beautiful, but the kinds of things that go on there pose an extreme danger to any American citizen who go over there. I think it was extremely irresponsible of them on a personal level to go there.
60 years of embargo hasn't worked. Maybe it's time to try something different. I mean, if Dennis Rodman can have an effect, not the one we wanted, but an effect in North Korea, why can't Beyonce and Jay-Z have an effect in Cuba?
Maybe you're right. So maybe now Raul Castro is going to get really ticked at the United States and start acting like North Korea has been over the past couple of weeks.
All right.
Sorry, only a minute.
Finish that one.
Thank you.
Okay.
So
genetics, DC schools, huge drinks. What's next?
I like genetics.
Okay,
I really want to talk about
this. Let's do that one. That one's fun.
Okay. So the Supreme Court is hearing issues over whether or not a corporation can patent and copyright a person's or an artificial genetic code, which has the ability to, say, flag diseases, give reasons for people to be subject to disease.
Okay, call it.
Okay, I'm going to call heads for supporting this.
Heads, he supports it. We only have 30 seconds. Tails, I support this. All right, look, these companies spend $1 billion developing medication to get into circulation, partly because of draconian FDA approval rules. It takes 10 years. They have to have the ability to patent these drugs to make money on them.
Okay. Well, at the same time, you're patenting a genetic code, something that is part of a person, something that you're creating. This kind of thing, like, that's like patenting someone's fingerprints.
I could replicate you in my basement like I'd want to.
Well, I mean, you definitely want two or three of me laying around, and maybe I can get new eyes off of this thing.
Sorry, 30 seconds. We're out of time. We have something really fun to share with you. Revisiting gun control. We want to leave you laughing, and we'll be back very briefly at the end.
God knows everybody needs it.
And this is fun, so give it a listen. Saturday Night Live.
And now, a message from the President of the United States.
As you know, over the past few months, I have made gun control legislation a top priority for my administration. Which is why I am so excited to announce that this week, the Senate voted 68-31 to begin debating the idea of discussing gun control. Let me say that again. They've agreed to think about talking about gun control. Amazing. Now, with me tonight are Democratic Senator Joe Manchin and Republican Senator Patrick Toomey. These men risked everything for this bill. I mean, Senator Manchin represents West Virginia, and he's proposing gun reform? He's gonna lose his job. And Senator Toomey, this man is a Republican who is willing to make just the slightest compromise on gun control. He's gonna lose his job too. But that's what it takes to achieve compromise. So, why don't you tell the folks at home what you've accomplished?
We'd rather not.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Tell them.
First of all, most Americans agree that we need stricter background checks. If our bill passes, no individual can purchase a handgun from a private dealer without being asked, are you a good person? As well as the follow-up question, seriously, are you?
We're also hoping to limit the amount of ammunition you can carry in magazines. We did not do that. So.
But we have agreed to limit the number of guns you can shoot at once to two.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone caught shooting three or more guns at the same time, we prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the punishment is we give you a fourth gun.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
No, I don't know. It was a compromise, I think. Yeah. So.
Also, we're very proud of this. We were able to ban AK-47s from all coin-operated vending machines. And the Papa John's promotion, buy two medium pizzas, get a free gun, has been completely outlawed.
That's right. Well, except on weekends and during the Super Bowl. So look, is this bill what we wanted? No. No. Is it what the NRA wanted? No. But does it at least help in some small way?
No.
No, probably not. It doesn't.
We are confident that this bill will pass the Senate, and it will then go to the House of Representatives, where it will immediately get shot down.
That's right. And that is not a metaphor. No, they will literally throw the bill up in the air and shoot it with a gun. I've seen it done.
Speaking of what's going to happen in the House of Representatives.
I shot that bill cold.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in. That's the end of our show, actually. Stay tuned for News with Kira Powell.
And make sure to... Go ahead. Sorry.
Make sure to tune in tomorrow for the Red Raider Rundown, 5 o'clock with David Wolverton and Justin Laney, keeping you up with all the nations and tech sports. Next week, Good Morning Texas Tech at 8 a.m. And make sure to hit Friday 5 for Flashback Friday here on the Raider.